Hey everyone, welcome back to Lash Boss Radio. I'm Shelby, your host, and today I am joined by a very special guest, Kayla Smith. She is VOD Lashes on Instagram, and it is her first time on Lash Boss Radio. I am so excited to interview her. I got to know her a little bit during Lash Boss Summit, like late night chatting. And I just, ever since then, I've really wanted to bring her on the show. So please welcome Kayla to Lash Boss Radio.
Hi, thank you so much for having me, Shelby.
I'm so excited that you're on. I feel like I know a lot of people know who you are, but I want everyone to know who you are and know how special you are.
Well, that's very sweet of you. And thank you so much for like giving me a platform to speak on your podcast, because I remember, you know, years ago when Lash podcasts were a little bit more slim and you were one of the big ones or one of the main ones that everybody, you know, talks about. So it's kind of full circle to now be on here talking to you because you were one of those influential people in my life starting out. So thank you.
Oh my God, that is so sweet. Thank you so much. Wow. Well, I'd love to start with just your timeline in that lash industry, like start to finish. You can give us a Cliff Notes version or be as detailed as you want.
Perfect. Yeah. So it's actually a long story, so I will try to keep it as, you know, short as possible, but I want to give you like a little overview. So I started as a makeup artist and photographer first a long time ago. I was doing photography and stylized feminine shoots with women and portraits of women, contemporary art. I was doing all of that before, ever since I was about 13 years old, and I've discovered photography back then. So then probably like 10 years later, I decided, I'm going to retire from photography and I want to do something else. And so kind of went where maybe I thought a little bit more stability was, or I just needed to do something different. So I started doing makeup and stuff, went to esthetician school. And then in 2017, got my esthetician license. I started doing lash extensions at the end of that year, which was kind of a fluke. It was more so like, I'm just going to try this out because, you know, it's an every 2 week fill kind of thing. Maybe I can build up some clients. And that's exactly what happened. You know, the end of that year, I started practicing for a few months. The January of the following year, which was 2018, I had $500 left to my name. And I decided to use all of that to invest in a lash bed and all of the supplies and everything that I needed to get started in my very first room, which was like a little hole in the wall place, you know, salon, how everybody gets started usually. And I did that for, you know, 5 years, I want to say. And I had moved around to different suites, and I got to a point where I felt like there was an entrepreneurial opportunity to, you know, let's see what I can do with products. So I eventually came out with products. I eventually got my own salon and warehouse space. You know, at one point, like had a little bit of online training. So I kind of did it all. I've kind of dabbled in almost every aspect of being a lash artist, I would say. But, you know, there's a lot of learning lessons, obviously. The number one thing that was like the fluid backbone of everything was my need and desire to not only have a way to monetize my art and feel fulfillment in myself creatively, monetarily, but also I really wanted to help women. I wanted to empower women through the art of transformation and education. That is my number one philosophy in life as an artist. And that, no matter where I go in life, is always going to lead true. So for me, that's kind of my timeline. As of about a year and a half ago, I started working as the creative director of Lash Reality and was given the amazing opportunity to take all of my artwork and skills and everything that I've done throughout my life that has led me to here It's like everything came together. And now I'm in this position that I have, I'm able to bring all of those little skills, like, you know, the photography, little bit of videography. If there's ever a need to have a model, I can do the model's makeup. You know, any kind of creative aspect of the company, that is something that I do, because not only am I interested in art, I'm also interested in the psychology of human beings. I'm very much interested in brain development. I am into behavior of people. I love learning, basically. I love learning about all things that I have yet to understand. And it is my goal to break it down in a way that makes it easier for me to navigate life. So that's my last 6 years of my life in a nutshell.
I feel like just with you describing that your timeline in this way, you can already hear how special of a person you are and how interesting, creative of a person you are. And I picked that up whenever we were sitting down at the summit. Like, I was like, whoa, I did not know her at all. And now I feel like I kind of get you in a way.
Yeah.
I have a question, and I don't know if I'm going to butcher this question. About like this timeline of yours. What was your mindset like? Can you like look back on each part of that journey and look back at your mindset at that time? Were you judging yourself or hard on yourself for any point of it? Anytime you had to pivot, like what were you thinking? Were you super positive in those moments? Were you more negative in those moments? Was there any fear? Do you remember any of that?
All of those previous trials and tribulations and all of the things that led up, you know, going through the different pivots, everything that you just mentioned, the thing that I was going through was a lot of depression, a lot of mental health issues. I was striving to survive. And I think that that was like the push that I needed to, of course, make the changes. And when anybody gets to a point in their life where they start to see that something isn't right, like I'm in a place right now where there's something that's bothering me and I can't quite put my finger on it, then you have to ask yourself, what is this thing that's bothering me about my situation? Is it the environment? Is it the act itself, like the service that I'm doing? Am I just not happy doing this job? Because a lot of times people put themselves in positions of, you know, a 9-to-5 or something because they feel like they have to, and they have no way of knowing how to get out of that. What's it called? Like, they don't know how to get out of that rhythm. They have no idea how to get outside of the box that they've built around themselves, because society has told you that you have to remain in this box in order to be palatable and normal. So for us as lash artists, we are already breaking out of that box by doing something that's a little bit out of the norm. That's something that takes care of us and feeds us and pays us, because we are self-employed people. But for me, to answer your question, for me, the guiding light through all of it was, at the end of this, I just want to be happy. That last like 6-7 years of my life, I've went through multiple breakups with, like, you know, partners of mine that were long term. I've went through like different housing situations. So, you know, you go through moments of struggling not to pay your rent. But when I started lashing, it was like, holy cow, like I can make money. But, you know, progress is not linear. It goes up and down. So the moment that I decided to open my salon, for example, immediately I became homeless, because I invested so much money into that place and I was not prepared. I was being impulsive. I have severe ADHD, which makes you just impulsive by nature. And, you know, I put myself in a position where I didn't have a house or anywhere to go for 4 months. And I was showering at my friends' places and had just like a little bed in the back of my warehouse that I was sleeping in, and nobody knew. So I've went through kind of everything, but also, you know, I don't like to compare pain. I think that everybody has their own things that they're going through, but really, like, what's the defining thing that's going to keep you going? And that's really unique for everyone. I think everybody has their thing. Like, for some people, it's their kids. For some people, it's, you know, you're taking care of your mom. For me, it was, I that's why I never had kids, because I was like, I can barely take care of myself, let alone a baby. So yeah, just trying to take care of myself, get through it. At the end of the tunnel, I want there to be some, like, because every day you're building towards that goal. Every day you're working towards this thing that's going to make you happy and going to make you more stable in your life and not just survive. Mm-hmm. And that's really what the hope was that someday I don't want to just be living, you know, either paycheck to paycheck or whatever. I just wanted to be happy with what I had, you know?
Wow. Thank you for opening up with all of that. I can't imagine how that was during all of that time. Is that why you're driven to help other people and pour into others? Is it because of the stuff that you've been through and you've seen?
What a wonderful question, because I think that a lot of us that go through a lot of chaotic things in their childhood, you know, you can either repeat the pattern of chaos and abuse, or you can turn it around and do the complete opposite. You know, you can learn from the mistakes of your parents. You can learn from the mistakes of others around you that you feel are not, you know, making quote unquote the right decisions. So for me, I think that a lot of the things that I've went through throughout my life have really made me dig deep on this feeling of I have to make other women feel as beautiful and I want to make other women feel as beautiful and empowered and confident as they possibly can be, because living in your full authenticity is such a gift in this world. So for me, my whole life, I never felt comfortable being myself. Still to this day, I struggle with not being able to fully be myself in front of other people, because there's a lot of masking that happens. Because again, we get inside this box that society has made, and we have to act, look, and do certain things to appease. But for me, I just hope that everybody that exists, that, you know, is walking on this planet, feels secure in themselves enough to do the things that they want to do and, you know, go out there and live a better life than what people think they should. Because a lot of times, specifically with women, is we are kind of shunned away from like high paying jobs. We're shunned away from certain things. You know what I'm saying? Like, so it's a difficult position to be in, to want to do better for yourself. But then again, you're fighting against this thing, this unspoken nature of society that tells you to sit down and shut up and be quiet. So, but I want women to know that you can go out there and do the things that you want to do, and you can say and how you feel. And, you know, I just think that everybody's voice is very important, no matter what. Everybody's voice is important.
I feel like there's this thing where entrepreneurs are the way that they achieve success because they're always climbing and they're always trying to get out of the chaos and maybe chasing stability in some way, or saying like, you're still not good enough. Let's do the next thing. Cool. You did that. Who cares? Let's do the next thing. That's how some entrepreneurs feel. Like, you can tell that they're not like content with just, you know, they have to do these things. And sometimes I think that's correlated to trauma. And
yes.
So anyways, does that make that question makes it better sense?
Yes. Okay. Yes. Because what you touched on was something, I know a lot of people relate to, because the drive and the force to continue doing the next thing and the next thing and the next thing, a lot of times is exactly what you said. It's based on this feeling of not feeling good enough. So perfectionism is actually a trait of children that, you know, are trying to please the people around them. You know, you grow up with a mentality of like, if I am not perfect, then I may get hurt somehow. You know, I might get yelled at, I might get picked on or whatever. So those things in a repetitive pattern can cause compulsive, shameful behaviors. Shameful as in the fact that like you do things and you still feel shame, no matter what. And for a lot of entrepreneurs that I think that what everybody needs to do right now is realize where you are and like what you've accomplished and feel pride in yourself, because sometimes it's hard to feel pride. It's hard to look at yourself and celebrate those wins because you don't want to feel like, oh, well, it's kind of like you don't want to bring attention to yourself because you're afraid of what people would say or think, you know? But it's the opposite, because we know that when we celebrate our wins online and amongst our community, that everybody loves it. Everybody loves to celebrate with you. So it's a good thing to take a step back, take a pause, and realize everything that you have done and relish in the moment. Relish in the moment of your journey. I saw a graphic the other day that was like, no matter where you are on your journey, you're still like experiencing something so powerful. Like, so I try to on my daily, like when I'm sitting at my desk, I'm like, you know, you're not going to be here like in a few months, because I'm actually moving to North Carolina. I will sit here and I'll be like, I'm going to take this in. And even though this feels boring or whatever, this is a memory for me that like I want to look back on as something, you know, this is where I was, as opposed to wherever I go. Like, I'm very excited to look back like on this memory. And another thing that like people, if you get to know me, you'd know this, but like I really look forward to getting older. I really look like, people are so scared to age. They're like, oh, I'm turning 30. Oh my gosh, like I'm getting old. And I'm like, I can't wait to turn 50. I can't wait to be like a fabulous 50-year-old woman that has like all gray hair. And, you know, you could talk to her about anything. Like, that's who I want to be. I want to be that little old lady that's, you know, got no kids and like the cool aunt. But I think that with age comes so much wisdom, so much experience, and it's all such a beautiful thing.
Oh my gosh. Okay. This reminds me of this. So forever, I was never able to be present. And I feel like you would appreciate this like little exercise, because it seems like you do it already. So this is how I guess I learned how to be present, because it never really clicked for me before. But I did this exercise led by someone, and it was like, you have to close your eyes and you're imagining yourself, you're in a room, could be any type of room, you're imagining whatever room that is. Look at the door, and in through the door comes you in 15 years or 30 years. And they just don't say anything. They just come sit down next to you. Oh, and every time I think about this, I'm not going to cry, because, oh my God. But it's you imagine like what their face looks like, their smile lines, their laugh lines, and their hair gray, and you just can see on their face like there's a sense of like there's a sense of like knowing, and like they have met people you haven't met yet, they love people you haven't loved yet, and it's just so beautiful to imagine like you later are going to look back on these chapters that you're currently living in, and you're going to be like, that was my chapter of this, or that was my year that I learned this, and this was my year that I met this person or went through this really hard time, and that is how sometimes I get through stuff. But it seems like even knowing that, hey, this moment isn't forever, let's relish in it or let's appreciate it. That's also like, it doesn't have to be you're going through a bad thing to recognize that all of it is like moments and it's up and down. But it sounds like you've kind of tapped into that same thing too, and can appreciate both that high and lows are not forever.
Yeah, and that doesn't mean that I still don't have problems with the bad days, because the bad days I let consume me. You know, I try really hard not to. I try to find the different things to cope, and, you know, leaning on other people and just the natural things that you do. But yeah, it's being able to recognize and try to actively think about slowing down the moment. You know, I'm in my head all the time. And so what I try to do is exercises, like all day I'll think about different things that I can do to, or just different subjects of things to challenge myself. And one of the things that I will do is kind of like you said, it's using that exercise of imagining. So what I do in times of like, you know, because sometimes days get monotonous and it becomes the same thing over and over. So what I do is I will sit here and I'll be like, I'm going to appreciate this moment here, and I'm going to think about what is happening around me and what does my body feel like, and what does, you know, what is the lighting? What are my animals doing? Like, I just try to take in everything because I'm in a safe space and I can do that comfortably. And I don't know if any of that is helpful. And, you know, obviously breathing exercises, they always talk about. I think there's a ton of other psychological exercises that you can do that aren't, I'm not going to tell you guys to do a bunch of things because I'm not a professional, but there are things that you can do to just really try to be present, you know?
Good point. Yeah. And it's funny. Sometimes I think, like, do other people have to do this to, like, be able to function and, like, get through their day like I do? Because I feel like I'm always having to, like, coach myself through something, try to be present, try the exercise, whatever. Because same, like, I go through times where I'm like, I can't see past this, or I can't see how this could end up being done, or me feeling a different way about it. And yeah, it just seems like a constant thing. Okay, so I want to switch gears a little bit, but kind of connect those two things to just the industry. Do you spend, like, a lot of time on social media, not a lot of time? Is there a reason for one or the other? I ask this because I sort of wonder if how the people that are just entering our industry are doing, how they're experiencing, like, wow, like, if you get on, like, your lash and page versus your personal page, and you're just seeing everyone's wins, which, yes, I love to celebrate people's wins too. But if you're seeing that, you're seeing a bunch of courses being sold, you're seeing a bunch of people holding up money and their new cars and everything. I wonder how that would feel as a baby lash artist. Sorry. So I kind of wanted to ask what your opinion was on just social media usage, mental health, and just as a lash artist starting out, or even beyond that.
You bring up such a great point, because if a lash artist is just entering the industry and seeing the sheer amount of content that is made every single day and all the competition that they have, you know, to keep up with, and all the trends and just all of the pressure that you feel by innately being online, I get that. And I don't want anybody to think that I don't experience that, because I definitely do. Like, when I get on there, I will see stuff that will make me feel like, oh, I'm not doing things fast enough, or I haven't been productive enough to do A, B, and C. But it's that negative self-talk and you know, comparing yourself to others, which I feel is just very relevant for a lot of people. But, you know, the healthiest thing that you can do is to be aware of your screen time, to not make Instagram on your homepage of your phone, because I feel like that's conducive of constantly clicking on it. But I think for me, I'm on social media a lot, but not more than I have to be, because especially with the business, I have to turn it off sometimes. Otherwise, if I completely immerse myself 100% and I'm always on there, then it does start to eat away. It does start to, it starts to make your brain rely on the wrong thing, because we are very much a dopamine, dopamine reliant species. So we can create structures, or shall I say, we can create different methods of dopamine exchange in the brain based on different activities. So if you start to connect your Instagram dings and all of that, and like, oh, I got to make a post because I'm going to get all this attention, and oh, I got to do this. And if you start to make that, like, very prioritized in your mind, then maybe it could be like a competitive positive thing, or it could be a negative thing. It just depends on how you use it. And I think that there's always a healthy way of trying to navigate the app. But, you know, there's also the layer of, well, if I do make a post and then maybe I get a hate comment on it, or, you know, there's just small things that can happen that do take a toll on you. Like, that that can make you start questioning yourself and question what you look like. I've seen kind of everything happen on there. Mm-hmm. But then again, I do want to give note that like it can be such an incredibly powerful and positive thing to have a social media presence. And I would say for me, it's been a net positive because of all the amazing relationships that I've, you know, made and the events that I've been able to go to and like just all the connections that you build from being a lash artist online. I mean, there's so much more positive in my mind, but the important thing here is that knowing when to get off, like knowing when to log off and just, you know, make your posts, do a little bit of connecting, but sign off every once in a while. You don't have to be on there all the time. And for me, as someone that runs the Lash Reality account, and then I also have my own personal accounts and stuff that I do, at first it was very hard. So what I would say for lash artists is if you don't already have a separate page for your account, for your lash work that you're trying to sell yourself as, definitely like make a separate account so that people can start recognizing you for that thing and you can freely share everything lash oriented on that page. So, you know, you might feel at first like, oh, this is going to be hard to deal with, but it motivates you. And then it's a very exciting place to be because you're interacting with all these people. But
that's a good point.
Yeah.
That's a really good
point. But yeah.
And I also think that a good benefit to having two pages, like one for your lashes and one for personal, is like you can choose when you want to expose yourself to more work. Because I used to mm-hmm. feel like I saw it all the time when I was like not wanting to. Mm-hmm. And now it's like I don't follow any lash anything from my personal page at all. And it helps a lot whenever I'm not wanting to opt in to everything at the moment.
See, and that's the way mine is too. So that when I go to my personal page, it's just kind of like taking a break.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Okay. So wanted to ask you a couple more questions.
Sure.
One, just how you think like education, like the direction education has been going in our industry. We've been seeing a lot of like master resale right courses. And I just wanted to see if you had any opinion on that.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for asking me about that, because as it becomes more and more prevalent amongst lash artists that are getting into the MRRs, I just want to say that there's no shame at all for people that want to do that. And if that is something that you are prioritizing in your business, then like go for it. My questions that I have are, you know, for people that sell those things, is what happens as the apps change? What happens as you can no longer sell your course because the landscape or the fundamental format of the interfaces change? There are absolutely probably things inside the course that are psychological based, you know, things that will probably ring true for a long time, but not every aspect of that course is going to be the same a year from now. So what are you going to do? Are you going to, from a year from now, find another MRR course that you can resell that's been updated and revamped to the new stuff? Or are you going to keep selling the same thing? The other question that I have is, do you know how to make your own courses from this that you could then expand upon? Do you realize that it takes a lot more than just reselling a course? It takes, you know, knowing the theory, knowing how to teach it, and knowing how to recreate it. So if you can't do those things, or you're not there yet, then maybe you aren't fully like standing behind your course. So that's all interesting like perspectives. But then again, MRRs are they're not necessarily one way. I also want to say that like, you know, they're not inherently bad, other than just like you have to know that curriculum front and back, and you have to know how to recreate it. So if I were to pay a coach that like, hey, I want you to give me all this information that I could then go and take. So if it's any other situation, I would only want to buy from a coach that I absolutely 100,000% believe in, that I know is doing right by me. And one other question that I have for people is, if there is money to be made in a very quick way, then that means that it will quickly fade. in my mind. To me, I think MRRs, and this is probably like a silver lining, I think, or maybe not, I think MRRs are just another trend. That's my opinion. I could be wrong. Maybe MRRs will live a long time. Who knows? Who knows what the future holds? But I think MRRs will not hold up in the long term. So I think that if you do sell an MRR, you know, really start thinking about taking some classes, even free classes that are online where that'll help you make your own courses with your own coursework. Not that you have to, but I want to empower you to, I want to challenge you to, because if you're capable of doing this, if you're capable of selling this course, this MRR, you can sell anything. Go out there and make a course that you can sell that's going to help people in your industry. Because when we, another thing that I've been seeing is people, it's kind of like a misalignment that happens when you sell an MRR as a lash artist, is you sell the product online to other lash artists that an MRR that is talking about, oh, here's how to make money overnight, da da da. It's usually the same thing over and over that has nothing to do with lashes, right? But we're putting it online to sell to other lash artists. Most of the time, you have something working against you where other lash artists, if it doesn't relate to them or appeal to them, then why would they pay into it? So there's pros and cons. It's a difficult thing to do because, like I said, if you can sell an MRR, you can sell anything. So I challenge you to go out and make something that is industry specific that you could then use that information to, because you could absolutely do that. Because if you got the rights to use that material, make it lash oriented and make it your own, because then that's where people really want you, the person. If we know that all these MRRs are exactly the same, then what's going to be the difference between me buying it from you versus another person? The one thing is it's going to be you, the person. These, like, your customers need to know you personally. Like, what is it about you that's interesting that, like, makes me want to buy it, you know? So I'm trying to give helpful information for people that sell it, but I also want people to know that you do not have to sell an MRR to be successful. There are other ways to do it that's not necessarily that way.
I love everything you said. I love that take. I'm going to clip that and put that on Instagram.
It really is about positioning and trust, because with MRRs, you know, you are trying to make the side hustle and you're doing the minimum to do that. But I think that there's so much more that you create. There's so much more that you could create that would be relevant to the lash industry that other people would really appreciate and trust you. I think that because MRRs are being talked about and springing up kind of everywhere, that people are going to start, there's going to be a trend of starting to distrust that. Mm-hmm. You also have to think about the way that a lot of people make their money is the slow, like the turtle wins the race or whatever, because it's like you're slow paced, but you're still working towards something. But when you have something that's super fast and just trendy, and like it tends to fizzle out, right? Yeah. So I think that there is an honest and healthy way of making money. And then there's also a way of making money that could, not saying it will, but it could take advantage of people that are not aware. Yeah. When you sell a product, it does not matter what the product is. There needs to be I'm trying to find the exact terminology. There has to be an informed consent. I need to be able to be informed enough that I can consent to buy a product that I know exactly what it is and what it's for. So make sure that you're not, you know, doing dirty tactics to swindle people into buying your product when you know that it's not realistic for them to use.
Right.
That is an ethical background of selling. There are ethics that you use, you know, in selling products. So just think about all of that. Consider all of that if you're selling an MRR. Again, no shame at all. There are ways of doing things. Like everybody has their own method, right? So pick and choose.
Amazing. Two more questions. One is, what has it been like? You know, you had started your product brand. Now you're working for Lash Reality. What has it been like working for Lash Reality, and what advice do you have for anyone that's hoping to also work for a big brand one day?
Perfect. I remember when you did the panel last year, and I was like, I loved all of everybody's notes and everything that they had said, because you know, the people like us that are working with brands now. Actually, let me save that for later. Let me ask your initial question first. Working with Lash Reality has been so dreamy and challenging and fun in all the best ways. Of course, there are ups and downs with any business, but coming into it with my backgrounds and having my own company and all of that stuff aided in Carly being able to hire me. So, you know, I, through the years of pouring into my own self and pouring into my own business, is what led me to being recognized by Carly and being so trusted. Because, you know, if I had not had my account and all the things that I was showing and doing and talking about, because there's also the aspect of, like, you know, having someone that can ask the right questions or, you know, talk about the right things in education. Oh, we didn't even talk about education. So, and I'll briefly talk about that. But so working with Carly it's just been so awesome because she trusts me and she gives me everything to just go and do what I'm going to do creatively. You know, I absolutely have loved having a clean slate to just go in, be creative, really put my mind to work on, because, like, I'm not a colorful person. I like wearing black. My brand was all black and gold and white, and it just was simple, 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 simple. Mm-hmm. But then now I work for Carly, and it was like the most polar opposite brand, where I had to go in and I had to take on, you know, how do I work with these colors and all these textures and graphic elements and stuff? How do I put this together in a way that translates and communicates to people in a way that we want? There's this whole other aspect of graphic design and creative, like, content that is all psychological. And I think somebody talked about that. I believe it was Blaze talked about that at your summit last time, where there's this neurological aspect, and that I appreciate when people talk about that, because it doesn't matter really how these apps change or social media changes. The number one thing that follows through with everything is the neurological part, because we're always going to be human. We're always going to be people. We always have to eat. We always have to go to the bathroom. We always have to sleep. We're always going to have neurological needs, you know? So if you are wanting to work with or in some way collaborate with a brand in the future, my advice to you would be, I mean, there's so many things, but I will try to keep it simple. The things that you can do right now is absolutely invest in yourself. Absolutely invest in knowing exactly who you are and living in your authenticity. It is showing up online in a way that you are proud of and that you would feel proud that anybody would come upon it and see it and appreciate it. So for me, I was never out to impress people. It was just my way of communicating the things that I enjoy. And if you do that, it's so much easier to impress people. It's so much easier to draw in the people that are naturally magnetized to you, because that's what being authentic does, is it allows the people that don't align with you to go. It allows the people that do align with you to come on in, because I'm compatible. I love this person's energy. I want to be around this person, and they follow you. So when I had that before, and then Carly and I got connected, it was so natural for her to be like, can you please work for me? Can you please take this and make it something? Not that it was nothing before, because it was amazing before, but, you know, she wanted me to come in and start just changing little things here and there to really elevate it. And that's what we've been able to do. We've barely scratched the surface, because this is just the beginning, Shelby. This is just the beginning on a huge journey of things that are to come in the next, like, 5 years, that I can imagine, that I have a vision for. Anything that you can imagine in your mind, you can create into a physical manifestation, I believe. And for us, that is definitely on track. We're working towards that. So excited. We talk about it a lot, but I know we put people waiting. So yes, be patient. We're putting some cool stuff out. But you asked me about education earlier, and I wanted to talk about what the landscape of education could look like in the next like 5 years. To me, education is going to diversify quite a bit because, you know, ever since 2020 and online courses have really started to take off, you know, nothing is ever going to completely replace a hands-on lash course in person. Nothing ever replaces that. There's a way to use online courses to supplement information and knowledge and techniques in a way, but it is not going to completely give you everything that you need to do lashes. I would say if you are a lash artist that has your fundamentals learned and all of that, then everything else could potentially be learned online, but a fundamental course probably should be taught in person. Totally. And I think with education, because of the diversification that will happen, you know, right now is the moment to really pioneer and take advantage of, you know, making your online courses, making your content, getting it up there. Really, there's no rush, but it's going to happen. You know, what you do now is going to hinge everything for the next 10 years, you know, and I think that the people that are doing those great things and really doing a good job with their education, being detailed and all of that stuff, and providing the utmost value for people. When you do those things, you reach people, you're only doing something positive for the industry. What is the harm that is done when we share information? What is the harm that is done when we share lash theory that people want to hold very tight to their chest? What is the benefit of that? So to me, I think that, you know, being as detailed as possible with our education, and I'm going to challenge educators out there to pour into it, because the more that you pour into it, the more that you change the lash industry in a huge way, positively, because we need theory, we need information, we need new ideas. If we are doing the same thing that we did in the lash industry 12, 15 years ago, then that would look a lot different. So it's good to hear unique voices and unique ideas. It's good to put out new things that might be possible. So I think that it's good to step up now and really define yourself as an educator, if that's what you want to do. But also, there's no rush, because you're on your own journey. You know, maybe right now is not the right time. So you do what it is that's going to invest in yourself. That's the first thing, is to know you, know what makes you happy, and then follow the things that naturally make you happy, because that's how you harness your gift, is to recognize that. If you've never had an opportunity to recognize your gift, then maybe you didn't go out and explore the world enough. Maybe you haven't seen enough things, but there's a lot out there that we can do and see and contemplate that is going to help us to find ourselves. And really, I think that's like, that's the thing that if anybody ever wanted to know me or get to know me, like in a capacity, like that's my number one philosophy, is just live in your authenticity. And, you know, without the ego, without the crazy ego, be self-aware. But yes, that's my advice.
Dropping so many gems this episode. Okay.
Oh, yay.
You are. And that's what you were doing at Summit, like all night. I was like, what the heck? She's so intelligent. So,
oh, thank you.
I do have one more question before I let you go. This is a question I used to ask every single guest, and maybe you'll recognize it, but I stopped asking it for some reason. I don't know. Sometimes I just black out in my episodes. But this question isn't necessarily assuming that like you think that you have ever failed, but it's meant to ask about maybe a blessing in disguise or something. But what is your favorite quote unquote failure?
One of my biggest lessons that I've been able to take away from, that I think is going to be very relevant for everyone here that has had a salon, and I talk about this sometimes, it's that when I had my salon and I impulsively just like jumped into it, signed a 3-year lease, and I basically had no savings, and I just was like, I'm going to make this work. And then to be confronted with all of the things that go into being a salon owner and all the expenses and all of that. It was one of my biggest embarrassments in life because I took on this huge thing that at the time I felt like, holy crap, I'm doing it. But then, you know, crashing because I, around a year and a half in, maybe 2 years, I was like, I'm done. I just don't want to do this anymore because it's not making me happy. And I could feel something inside myself like was starting to get worse and worse and worse with, or let me rephrase that. I could feel something in myself that was making me more and more overwhelmed and just very scared and depressed. I was becoming thinned out by all the tasks that I had taken on and all these projects. And I was the only one doing it. I had renters. I had an employee. I had the fulfillment of the products, like mailing them out, right. Taking care of all the orders, just everything that went into it. And I thought, I'm capable of this. I'm capable of taking on all these things. You know, they always say, like, you know, work as hard as possible and like really, you know, put yourself out there and just do it. And that's what I tried to do. But then you realize, you start to realize in yourself, well, this is taking a toll on my mental health and I'm going to recognize my mental health is real. So what can we do to change this? I mean, that's the only question that you can ask is if I'm in this position of uncomfortableness, like I'm feeling this stress inside me, you have to do something to change. A lot of people are scared to change their situation. It's much more easy to be comfortable and stay where you are than to do the thing that could potentially hurt your feelings and make you seem cringy or whatever. So the thing that I had to do that was embarrassing and cringy was go to my landlord and say, hey, I don't want to do this anymore. Yeah. That was very hard. So it's admitting that I made a mistake of getting the salon, or maybe it was a mistake, or sorry, maybe it was not a mistake. I don't know. But to me, it was a wonderful learning lesson that A, I am able to do whatever it is that I want. If it's something I want, I can achieve it. It just takes time to achieve it, but you should go about it the right way, probably. Like, take your time. But yeah, you can achieve anything that you want. Sometimes it just takes a little journey to get there. And for me, I'm on that journey. I have things that I want in my life that, like, I know for sure, like, I'm going to get it. But it's going to take time. And I'm willing to put in that 10 years or whatever it takes to do it and build something. But, you know, the salon was just me realizing that this doesn't make me happy. I don't want to be tied to this. I'm going to be moving. You know, there's just so many things that happen. But yeah, it was a great catalyst for also me being able to step into my lash reality role. If I had kept doing that job, I would have not been able to do the Lash Reality job now. And that would be sad. So I'm very happy with where I am now. I'm very, very, very happy I got rid of the salon. I mean, in the moment, oh my gosh, it was so scary and just felt like the biggest failure because this is like my second commercial location that I've ever had in my life. The first one was a photography studio, but this one, I was like, man, this is such a huge, huge failure. But guess what? I don't care anymore. I don't care. Like, if somebody were to use that against me, like, oh, well, she had a salon. No, I don't care.
Yeah.
It's an amazing thing that now I can speak to. I can tell people about what owning a salon is like. I have the experience. To me, it's another wisdom line on my face.
Yeah.
So
totally.
Yeah. That's it.
Thank you for sharing. And thank you for coming on. And you were great. I really loved talking with you today. And I'm sure a lot of people are going to have a lot of breakthroughs listening to this.
Thank you so much. I am so excited for people to hear it. So
thank you all for listening today. I will be back very soon with the next episode.